Actually, U.S. don't want to finish the world. It's their game. It's the game of George W. Bush, Obama. They don't care about the people who are dying there.
President Obama said the war is ending in Afghanistan. Do you see it ending?
Until Americans in Afghanistan, it will be not ending.
That wraps it up for another edition of Flashpoints. Our executive producer is Dennis Bernstein. Our roving producer and producer of Flashpoints in Espanol is Miguel Gavilan Molina. Our technical director is Mike Biggs. For more information about the show, to listen to or download archived episodes, log on to flashpoints.net or visit our SoundCloud page at soundcloud.com/flashpoints. For questions or comments about Flashpoints, you can contact Dennis at dennisjbernstein@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.
The time now is 11 o'clock. This is KBOO-FM, and coming up next is Pacific Underground, a discussion about the role that names play when it comes to identity.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to host Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater in Portland. Hedges takes a provocative look at the current state of revolt in the United States and will recount the U.S.'s continuing history of domestic terrorism while outlining ways for communities to resist before it's too late. Again, that's Chris Hedges Friday, May 26th at 7 p.m. at the Aladdin Theater, 3017 Southeast Milwaukee Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Satchmo at the Waldorf, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from May 4th through the 27th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Backstage at the Empire Room of the Waldorf Astoria Hotel in 1971, Louis Armstrong, the greatest trumpet player in the world, sits in his dressing room trying to pull himself together following a performance. His mind wanders through the amazing and complex journey of his life. Again, Satchmo at the Waldorf, May 4th through 27th at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Pacific Underground, stories and interviews for and by Asians and Pacific Islander Americans. I'm your host, Tabitha Teo, and I am joined by our newest collective member, Elena. Welcome!
Hi, thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
You may remember Elena from our live show about mental health. We're excited to have you on board.
Thank you.
This month, we are talking about names. We've touched on this topic before, but we are devoting a whole episode to this. Elena, do you have any stories about your name?
Yeah, I guess I do. So my full name is Elena Catherine Yen Suffling, but when I was in school and whatnot, that was always shortened to Elena Suffling, you know, for paperwork and whatnot. And so I feel like that doesn't really give much context. Context about my ethnicity, which was always confusing to people. You know, Elena Suffling, they would see me and I feel like I look pretty ethnically ambiguous, so I would get a lot of questions. So as I got older, the past few years, I've kind of gone back to my full name, Elena Catherine Yen Suffling, which includes my mom's maiden name, or she never changed her name, but her last name is Yen. She's Chinese. So I feel... Yeah, I guess I feel good about going back to that full name because I feel like shortening it was sort of in a way, in a small way, they felt like turning my back on part of my cultural heritage, which has kind of, for the most part, been erased and forgotten. So this, even though this is such a small thing, it was something that I could kind of do to reclaim some of my history and background by going by my full name.
That is a great reflection on how complex name and identity is. Do you like your name?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've had it forever, so I do like it. But I would also say growing up in New Mexico, my name is Elena, but people would always say, oh, Elena, I grew up in New Mexico. So they say, oh, you're Latina or Hispanic. And so that was an extra layer of confusion. I don't really feel like I have the cultural ties to the name Elena. I think my parents just picked it because they liked it. So it doesn't feel like it has a strong history to it.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I did an interview with someone who also struggled with their name and how it fit with their gender identity.
I mean, I have to explain my situation here.
Okay.
First off, I'm guessing most, if not all, of my family actually know.
Okay.
Yeah. Secondly, most of them either don't use Facebook or they don't pay attention to me on Facebook.
Okay.
As far as how I'm using my name right now, mm-hmm. my Chinese name,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm using it on Facebook. I did change my English name, just not officially, on legal records.
And, like, what are your plans, like, after college? Going to take over the world?
I don't know about that. I mean, mostly I'm just trying to basically make sense of my life because I started transitioning almost a year ago.
Mm.
And I think I'm going to finish up this summer, but I don't know because everything is complicated.
So would you like to please introduce yourself and tell us what your name is?
Hi. Well, my English name I picked for myself is Deirdre, but my Chinese name, I'm not sure if I'm saying this correctly, but it's Tom Yunlong. I'm not sure if I said that correctly.
So what name would you prefer me to call you by then?
You can just use Deirdre, or, well, actually, I just go by D.
Okay.
But yeah.
So how has your name helped shape your identity?
Like my Chinese name?
Or the English name that you've chosen for yourself?
Actually, the English name is kind of a ridiculous story. I was just trying to come up with a name for myself, and my friend suggested Deirdre. At first, I was like, oh, that's a very nice name. But then I was like, there's just so many like jokes about the name D. So basically, I was like, hey, you just want to make all these D jokes, and she's like, yeah, I did. And I was like, all right, I'll go with that. So I just went with it. On a deeper level, it kind of meant to me in terms of being able to get closer to people and having friendship since I came out and started transitioning. A lot of things have opened up for me.
Do you tell people what your Chinese name is, or do you want
I use it on Facebook because, so I was on Facebook and I want to talk to more people, but it kind of felt uncomfortable using my, some of us call it our dead name. I was frustrated because Facebook has this, habit.
Yeah, the rule of you must be your legal name.
Yeah, but they only enforce it towards folks queer-coded, like drag queens and trans folks, but mostly because there's a whole bunch of trolls out there who just report people for being trans or...
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah. So basically, that's how the rules get enforced. Then, my sister started using her Chinese name on Facebook. Something about wanting to have more clear identity. For me, personally, it was like, hey, I could totally use this because it's on my legal documentation. If anybody ever did try that, it wouldn't work. The more I used it, the more it seemed like it was kind of like finding a piece of myself again that I'd forgotten about. I guess when I think about it, back when I was younger, it was a name that I actually liked. not my English name that I really didn't like.
What does your Chinese name mean?
Yuan Long. Long. Forget about it. But, yeah. The first character, I mean, Google Translate says source, but it kind of means all sorts of things, apparently. Like, it can refer to, say, the source of a river, or just, it's a very, very Chinese word where it just has all sorts of metaphorical and literal meanings. So,
that's what I kind of like about Chinese names. They have, it's so loaded with so much, poetry and, meaning.
Like, when I was born, I was basically the, quote, grandson. So my grandfather was like, oh, like, the source, like, maybe I was meant to carry on his family's legacy or something, or because I was their first grandchild in America, like a new beginning, that kind of thing. I don't know. My grandfather had a lot of expectations for me.
Have you ever asked your family what your Chinese name means?
Oh, yeah, I asked, yesterday.
Oh.
Because I was trying to figure it out on my own, but it was so vague that, So, basically, I was right, though. Meant all sorts of things.
Oh, cool. Can you write your name in Chinese?
Oh, yeah, I think it was the first thing I learned to write in Chinese.
Oh, wow. That is really cool. Which
is kind of funny, because it was, it's got really hard characters in it.
Yeah.
So that's how I started off. It's like, oh, wow. I mean, I'm glad that I'm good at writing Chinese, because that wouldn't have gone well otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
But, I don't know. To me, it's kind of like drawing.
Do you know if... I don't know much about Chinese names, but do you know if your name might be gendered in Chinese?
Well, the second character means dragon, which might imply a masculine connection, but I don't see it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that it might seem gendered because my sister just has a name after a flower, so.
yeah.
But I do know the expectations were maybe gendered.
Mm-hmm.
To me, though, I've chosen to reinterpret it.
Do you like your name? Either the new English name that you've chosen for yourself or your Chinese name?
I like both of them. I only trust folks that I actually know to have my English name. And that's kind of how I used my Chinese name on Facebook, is that I can post publicly and, make friends with that name, but if they actually want to talk to me or, just get to know me more, then I let them know my English name.
Oh, that's cool. I know in a lot of fantasy and sci-fi stories, people have a public name and a secret name. And
A true name.
Yeah, a true name. Names have a lot of power. How did your dead name make you feel growing up?
I didn't know what trans meant back then, so I always felt awful all the time, but particularly, about my name. Yeah, it's okay if I say it here. It's, my dead name's Arthur. I always thought the name was kind of ridiculous, first off. It's I didn't know anybody else named Arthur for the longest time. I always thought it was kind of a weird name. Also, kids are like, oh, hey, can I just call you King Arthur? That guy gets annoying. Mm-hmm. And there was also the TV show, and God, I just hated all of it. If you think about it, if I wasn't trans, maybe I would have actually liked it. I don't know that. I just know that I don't. I just don't like it at all.
What about your family? Do they know about your name change? And do they still call you?
I mean, when I asked them why they gave me this name, they always had like a different reason every time. I'm not sure if it's anything meaningful to them. Like, it didn't seem like it was, seeing as, I mean, I don't know about my dad. I mean, my mom came from China, so I think the Chinese name has meaning to them because I think my grandfather picked it. Yeah, but I'm getting ahead of myself there. Yeah, I'm not sure if they had any other meaning for that name besides how they chose it at the time. And, well, I really don't know how they're going to react. They're just used to calling me by that name, I guess. So it's probably going to be hard for them.
Do you feel prepared to have a conversation with them yet about this is what I'd like to be called now? Does your family also know that you're trans?
My dad knows, but nobody else does except for my sister, and she totally accepts me and everything, so.
What about your father?
I don't know. Like, I keep getting mixed messages from him. Like, he says things like, oh, you know, the world's never going to see you the way you see yourself. Yeah. Other times he just sends me articles about stuff about being trans, but they're like written by guys that are like 30 years behind.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh no, this is going to be my life now. Getting articles sent about this stuff. That doesn't make any sense at all.
How do you anticipate your family to react when more people find out, or when you feel that you want to disclose this about yourself?
Okay, let's see. My mom, I think she knows about people like me. It's that she just keeps calling them men. But I do get the impression that she wouldn't care so much as long as I, you know, become rich.
Okay.
I know that's terrible, but it's like, oh, there's this guy who wears dresses in Hong Kong and he's a good fashion designer or something. It's like, why can't you be successful like that? And it's like, oh my god.
Oh wow.
Like, is that what I have to do to get her approval?
Yeah, no pressure or anything. As long as you make lots of money, you can wear whatever you want to. How do you react if people call you by the wrong name or by your dead name? I mean, especially with your family, since they don't know.
The closer they are to me personally, the more awful I feel. I'm not sure how to word it. It's like a very awkward feeling, like, oh yeah, this is the name that people call me. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I can just go through the rest of school like this, because it feels weird to be professionally one person and actually somebody else.
Have you been speaking to, like, counselors or friends?
Oh,
or...
yeah. I've...
Okay. On, like, preparing yourself for this?
Oh, yeah. Like, I've been talking a lot about it to those folks. Yeah, like, my sister and... the school counselor, therapist, I'm not sure, forgot what her title was, but she knows, and we've got all the forms and everything prepared for when I do make that change.
Oh, good, good. So you can, like, change your birth certificate and...
Right, and then everything else.
Awesome.
It's gonna be fun, I guess.
Well, I do
filling out all those forms.
I do wish you the best of luck, because, I mean, I'm privileged in that I'm cis, and so I don't have to worry about that. But I do have a lot of LGBT friends, and they post about their daily struggles about being validated all the time on Facebook, and I feel really bad for them that they shouldn't have to put up with this. You shouldn't have to put up with this, but that's unfortunately the way our society is. And
I try not to think about that too much, because I get all mopey.
Yeah.
But thanks for your sentiment. The clinic I'm going to is I think they have somebody there who can help me, and I guess the ACLU has been putting stuff into action, so they're probably going to be involved with that.
Oh, so, good.
So, yeah.
Yay.
Hopefully just I can get this over and done with.
You said that you have two names, that you have your Chinese name and then D. Which name do you prefer people to call you by?
I think for the most part, they should just stick to D, because, unless they know how to speak Chinese, it's going to be a bit of
a tongue twister.
And I don't take it personally, but yeah, I just don't want to just watch them struggle with that.
Thank you, Dee, for talking to producer Tabitha Teo.
Listening to Pacific Underground on KBOO Portland.
If you enjoyed what you heard, please give us a review on iTunes and like us on Facebook. We're also on Twitter at PAC Underground.
We have an interview from our other newest collective member, V, who you might remember also from our mental health episode.
I have an interesting story on how I met V, and it sort of involves her name. Actually, we are both part of an online forum, and I happened to see a post before I knew who she was, talking about the story of her name and asking for stories of other people who had changed their names or who had stories about how they felt about their name and identities. So sort of a funny coincidence that that was my first interaction with V, and I had no idea what she looked like or who she was, but we kind of connected over that on the internet. So this is really exciting to get to hear her story here.
My dad was held captive in a re-education camp for 5 years. After being released, he saw little hope for himself in Honai, the little village his family lived in an hour outside of Saigon. So in July of 1991, my dad uprooted his life in Vietnam, took with him his wife, 4 children, and mom, and fled our war-torn country to resettle in America. I was born in Vietnam, but raised in the States. I was only 7 months old when we immigrated. We resettled in an area with a thriving Vietnamese Catholic community in Connecticut, which was vital to my family's survival in the States. A part of this survival entailed changing our first names legally to English names. So when I was 6, my parents legally changed my name to Christina, so that I wouldn't stand out as an immigrant. I've always strongly identified with my Vietnamese heritage, but I've also been heavily influenced by the dominant American culture I grew up in. It wasn't until recently that I've put effort into being more intentional in reclaiming this cultural identity. In January of this year, I decided to ditch that English name and reclaim my birth name. My name is V Hong Pham, and today I'll be sharing a conversation I had with my brother, whose legal name is Max Son Pham, regarding our name changes. Max is a Vietnamese-American filmmaker trying to make it big in New York City. we're pretty much refugees of war.
Okay,
you know, we got a lot of assistance from the Catholic community in Hartford, and
the government.
And the government, and we got a lot of assistance through, you know, the like cult, like the bilingual immersion programs that we were set up with as kids to go to school. Mm-hmm. With other Vietnamese immigrants. And then how that story connects to, you know, like the fact that Dad had to give up his Vietnamese citizenship for his like US citizenship, and how that just ties into the idea of like he's pursuing this American dream, he's pursuing this like model minority myth, and that ties into like the whole name thing too. Because that's like, you know, that was his goal from the get-go, is like, we're gonna move to America, we're gonna assimilate, and we're gonna be successful there. And whatever whatever that takes,
you know, the move to America, I think with any family that comes to America, it's the search for a better life, and that's what it comes down to. And
so we grew up pretty bicultural. We had the advantage of, you know, living in this diaspora and experiencing what, you know, Viet culture is, but also going to public school in you know, American culture. Would you say that, you know, part of why our father decided to change our names to English or American names, would you say that's part of the assimilation process that he was going for?
I believe so. I thought that he would, I believe that he thought that we would be more successful if we were more assimilated into the culture, if we were just like everyone else. And so at home, he emphasized speaking English. So I was born Pham Yang Son. Actually, it's Pham Trường Yang Son. Which is the last name, then the two middle names, and the first name. So my first name was Son. I am now Max Son Pham. So Max is my first name. Pham is obviously my last name. And I was about 7 when my father asked me to change my name. And he said that I could pick any name I wanted. So I picked Max.
Do you remember what it was like choosing that name for you as a 7-year-old?
I remembered that it was very simple and that I didn't think about it at all. It was a strange request, looking back. But at that time, I probably felt that it was okay and that it was illogical. Because I believe my father explained it to me that it helped me do better in school. And that's usually, you know, as good of an explanation as you could give a 7-year-old who wanted to succeed and who wanted to fit in. When I went to class and the first time my name was used was in the 3rd grade, as a Vietnamese teacher, and the class was all Vietnamese students trying to learn English, and he was teaching math, this very stern professor, Dr. Min, and he used that name. He called me Max. He introduced me, he reintroduced me to the class of 4 other students. And he said, "Son has a new name, guys. From now on, he will be called Max." And I felt almost, I liked it. I wouldn't say it was empowering. I don't know. But as a young kid, I liked it. I was like, yeah, that's kind of cool.
It was kinda exciting.
Kind of like a new person. It was exciting.
Yeah. Like new territory.
Yeah. And, you know, I didn't mind it.
Why at the age of 7?
I actually don't know. I'm not sure.
I remember. I remember because we were moving to West Hartford and changing school districts, and the student body in our new school was predominantly white. Our parents wanted to give us American names so that we could fit in better.
That makes sense. That sounds very familiar. Okay. I believe that is correct.
That's what I remember.
You're not exaggerating.
Yeah. I remember being the only Vietnamese kid in my class.
Yes, I was also the only Vietnamese kid in my class.
Do you use your birth name at all anymore?
Nowadays, my birth name is used when I'm with family. And when I'm visiting relatives.
Do you think it's language dependent or is it like context dependent?
I think it's context dependent, which name I use, because I wouldn't use it at work and I wouldn't use it in a professional environment because my legal name is Max. And that's the name I've known since I was 7. I wouldn't use it at school because, you know, as I told you, I was reintroduced in 3rd grade with a new name.
Right.
And that's how it stuck. So over time, I think initially the students were still calling me son when I was 7 in that 3rd grade class.
Right.
But slowly, maybe towards the end, they were using Max more. And they always did it with a smile, like, mm-hmm. They're like, this is interesting. I don't know if it was a good or bad smile, but they did smile. And then when we did move to West Hartford, that Max was the only name I used.
Like, how do you address yourself in your head?
I address myself as Max.
As Max.
That is the name I identify with. Son is, it's more of a formality for me, but when I dream and when I think and want to write, I use my American name.
Interesting. That's the opposite for me.
The context does matter. Like when I was in Vietnam, I was in Vietnam for 2 months in early 2016. I'm actually going back in a week for 5 weeks. When I was there, I did feel like Son was the name that came to my head first because that's what everyone was calling me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was around relatives and strangers, that was the name they were calling me. So for a few weeks while I was in northern Vietnam, I used Max and I thought of myself as Max. But when I was in the south, I was with relatives for about 2 weeks, but I slowly identified with more during that time. So I feel like the name that you hear more often, and in my case it was Max, mostly, you know, like 99% of my day from when I was 7 until now.
What was your reaction when I decided to start going by my birth name?
I thought it was great. I thought it was a natural evolution because, at least from my perspective, because I very rarely called you Christina.
Mm-hmm.
And V was always how I addressed you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it made sense to me and I liked it. And I like that you dropping Christina because I honestly thought Christina was an okay name. It was too long. I always liked V better. I liked how sharp and simple V was. And you could spell it with one letter if you so wish.
Yes.
But that would be incorrect. And I think that that's great. You know, we were very young when our names changed.
We are 2 of 4 children. I am the youngest. Son / Max here is older than me. And then we both have an older sister and an older brother. And our sister also changed her name to Kelly, which I'm pretty sure is just what she goes by now in all contexts. I personally still call her Nguyen, which is her nickname. But I'm pretty sure I'm the only person that does that
Except maybe.
I call her Nguyen too.
Oh, you do? I feel like you call her Kelly more.
Occasionally I use Kelly, but I've been using Nguyen too.
And then we also have our oldest brother is named Long, and he is never changed his name, although these days he's starting to go by Leo, which is his astrological sign. I think he's trying to adopt more Leo characteristics, but yeah,
he has a lion tattoo.
Yes, he does. He just got a lion tattoo. So
so the name dynamics in our family is very interesting, and everyone's kind of at a different place with their name and how they want to be acknowledged, right, and how they address themselves. You know, I didn't feel like the name that I used impacted who you are or necessarily how I thought of you.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it says anything about, you know, each of our processes with acculturation?
Probably, yeah, because I think that, you know, the things I mentioned, how I didn't give it much thought, was mostly true up until maybe after college,
mm-hmm,
when I started to focus more on who I was and where I was standing in society. And I began to notice and began to become uncomfortable with the notion that a lot of Asian people had these very plain American names. And I questioned why, like, our Asian brothers were, that had these names. And one of my very good friends, his real legal name is a Chinese name, a very nice Chinese name. But he goes by a simple American name.
And what is that?
It's kind of like his nickname. He's one of my coworkers, so he goes by Ben. And it made me question, like, why they were doing it. And, you know, they wanted to fit in, was my conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted things to be simpler for both them and other people so that they didn't have to struggle to explain, like, how to pronounce their name and be embarrassed about it.
And they didn't want to have to deal with people just butchering their name all of the time.
Right.
I'm assuming. Right. Were there any moments that you can think of that you felt almost fortunate or lucky or happy that you've had an English name so that people didn't have to, you know, butcher your Vietnamese name? Like, instead of saying Son, they'll say Son.
You know, it has bothered me a little when I would, like, explain, like, oh, yeah, this is my Vietnamese name. They would say it the wrong way, and I'd be like, no, it's more like this. I probably have, you know, have moments where I can't think off the top of my head exactly when, but, you know, that I felt like it was simpler, that mm-hmm, I just had, like, this cool kind of zippy, not necessarily American, but like, a little bit flashy kind of name that was just like, Max, like, you know, I was like, yeah. Instead of, like, some other awkward name that people couldn't pronounce. And that's the truth.
I guess in terms of my decision to change my name back to V is, I never felt comfortable saying Christina. I actually still don't think I can pronounce it right. And it it never sounds right when it leaves my mouth. So
is it Christina or Christina?
I don't know. I actually don't think I can, like, roll my R's correctly, or, like, the way that it's meant to be pronounced, like Christina. It just doesn't mm-hmm. never sounded right when I introduced myself. But I guess I feel happy and a little envious that you were able to choose a name that you felt like you identified with.
Thank you. And I don't know, it's weird. I'm kind of in a weird space for it, because, you know, I wish I didn't change my name, honestly. Like, Sun's kind of a cool name. It means mountain.
Yeah,
I mean, what the hell does Max mean? So, you know, and that's how it should be. Is, like, your birth name is a sacred thing, something that is special. You don't know that as a kid.
Yeah, you don't. And I remember,
I remember Dad's reaction and also Mom's reaction when I kind of had this coming out, like, I'm gonna start going by V now. My parents changed my name when I was really young, and I didn't really understand what was happening around that, or I guess the effects of that. And they got kind of defensive, and they were like, I remember asking you what you wanted your name to be. I gave you the choice. And my rebuttal was just like, I was six. How am I supposed to know? I don't even know what that means. Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah, it's hard to say. It's hard to give a very young child such a significant decision. So, yeah, it's inadvisable, really. Sorry, Mom and Dad. But, yeah, I think given names and birth names are sacred. You know, those are things that should be cherished, no matter how awkward or goofy it may sound in a certain context, in a different culture. I think it's an essential part of who you are.
I would agree with that.
And I was fortunate enough to land on a new nickname, you know, a new fake name that kind of worked out in my favor that I don't hate right now. But, you know, kudos to you. I think, you know, if you always hated Christina, then you should do what you feel is right.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting and very confusing and awkward transition back to my birth name, because now I kind of feel the same way about V. I know you were saying earlier that, you know, because we have these two names, we can almost, you know, switch back and forth between identities, and it really depends on the context we're in. And so when I was going by both Christina and V, you know, V was always reserved for family or like friends, you know, childhood friends from church. And now that I'm strictly going by V, it feels weird to have folks who would have normally called me Christina call me V. And every time it happens, it's just kind of like I am kind of taken aback. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that's my name now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, so we've been talking about given names,
mm-hmm.
right? But we haven't talked a lot about or at all about family names and hyphenates and getting married and keeping your name or changing your name. Do you take that name or do you hyphen it, or what do you do, and how does that, you know, how does that affect who you are?
Do you have an answer to that?
Because we live in a patriarchal society, I don't have to change my name. I can choose to when I marry.
Would
but
you?
I don't
is,
have to.
Is what I'm asking.
Would I?
Yeah.
I would not. I like my name. I like my last name.
I like my last name too.
What about you? Would you keep your last name or would you hyphenate?
It's hard to say. I've thought about this a lot, and I mean part of the reason why I chose to go by V is to kind of reclaim this cultural identity that I've been kind of slacking on keeping up with, because I do feel like our acculturation process was extremely successful. I do feel very white. I feel like a lot of my identity and my interests are shaped by white culture, just because that's the context that I grew up in. And
yeah,
so
I absolutely agree. Yeah,
you know, going by V now is part of me just it's almost like a service to myself. It's like reminding myself that I have this cultural background. And so I don't think I would give up my last name. I might consider hyphening it, but I definitely don't think I would give up all of it.
Right. Can't you be like my mother? She just like kept her maiden name the whole time.
Right, yeah. Yeah, power to mom. Shout out to mom. What a strong woman.
Right.
Yeah, she kept her family name. Yeah, thank you so much for joining me and chatting.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. If you need anything else, you know, I am free until Sunday. I leave Sunday.
Cool. Where are you going?
I'm going to Vietnam.
Oh, shoot. That's that soon?
Yeah.
What?
It's Sunday. That's and Lau and Kelly are leaving Monday.
Ah, so, I'm so jealous. Yeah. Well, are you going to post photos on Instagram or?
Yeah, I will.
So,
I will.
Give us your Instagram handle.
My Instagram handle is MaxSonPham. That's Max Son Fam.
Producer V for talking to Max Pham.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Pacific Underground. Pacific Underground is produced by Jenna Yokoyama, Kanan Schlesinger, Tabitha Teo, Elena Catherine Yan Suffling, and V. Pham.
Our music this episode is by Chops. Thanks to our home station KBOO Portland for the support, studio space, and love. And now, just for fun, a bonus track. Friend of the show, rapper Jason Chu, teamed up with Priska and Leo Shaw to tell us about everyone's favorite white savior, Matt Damon. I have to say, I actually like the movie Great Wall. Don't judge me! To watch the music video and links to the artists, check out our Facebook page at PAC Underground. Thank you, Matt Damon!
Between the races,
who will stand for the people without a voice?
We need a hero to lead our tribe,
a man to follow far and wide. Save us, Matt Damon, from discounts less than 30%. We're the sheep, you're the shepherd that we need. Exposing the chinks in the chinks in our armor. Save us, Matt Damon. Show us what we can't see through our tiny little slanty Asian eyes. We got fireworks and calculus. The freedom was something you brought us.
Matt Damon, hey man, I've been naming that as 1600. Teacher grade and my persuasion is at A++. And I'm just a nerd, I need your cool white tutelage. In fact, teach me your ways and save me from all the things that I lack. I mean like muscle cars, baseball cars, individualism. While your accent sounds cool, but my parents sounds like a villain. A pillar of progressive, diverse, liberal. Come liberate us Orientals from Confucianism, please.
No, I'm not Esther.
No, I'm not Kevin.
I don't know who the fuck that is. But I've been called Esther,
Kevin,
twice today,
three times.
And I'm wondering who do I pay to make this all go away. I need a hero.
And is starting a movie about math.
Thank you, Matt Damon, for saving us from ourselves. We're civilized creatures now. 5,000 years of history, but European wisdom held what we need. Thank you, Matt Damon. You risked it all for Asian kind.
You're a dragon and a tiger and a phoenix all in one. The legendary Dragonix.
That Nine-Nine said would come fix our ship.
Nine-Nine wouldn't lie, would she? Probably not.
Shay Shay Matt Damon, how my what and how? Wapujid out so dinar, ni churfan lama, wahangao shingan ni gen man.
Matt Damon respects the culture so much.
Matt Damon
studied Chinese for 3 months.
Matt Damon
dated 2 Chinese girls at once.
Matt Damon
said only bye to Yoda. Parallel parks like a dream.
Matt Damon
can tell Koreans apart from Japanese.
Matt Damon
has a collection of katanas.
Matt Damon
leaves caviar for his ancestors.
Matt Damon
knows 40 digits of pi.
Matt Damon
is really getting into Buddhism right now.
Matt Damon
built the Great Wall by himself. Says pho is the new sushi, Xiaolong Bao is the new pho.
Matt Damon
makes the moon so bright.
Matt Damon
provides on every harvest night.
Matt Damon
is the sun and also the stars.
Matt Damon
watches over us from afar. Matt Damon.
Matt Damon. Matt Damon. Matt Damon. Matt Damon.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River on 91.9 FM. Listeners are reminded that the Portland Rose Festival officially kicks off today. City Fair starts this evening at 5 p.m. at the Tom McCall Waterfront Park. There will be a dance party in the Rose Zone, followed by the opening night fireworks at 9:45. Daily admission is $8 for ages 7 and over, or you can purchase a souvenir pin season pass for $10. Go to www.rosefestival.org to learn more. The time now is 11:55. Stay tuned for Moving On following the KBO Noon headlines.
It's time for the KBOO News at Noon for Friday, May 26, 2017. A U.S. appeals court has upheld a decision by a lower court that Donald Trump's travel ban is illegal and unconstitutional. The court found that the travel ban against six Muslim countries is, quote, dripping with religious intolerance and violates the U.S. Constitution. The Trump administration has vowed to bring the case to the U.S. Supreme Court. In Europe, where the current U.S. president is attending the G7 summit, the 45th president has engaged in a number of diplomatic blunders and embarrassments, some without even opening his mouth. He shoved the prime minister of Montenegro Thursday in an attempt to force his way to the front of a group of world leaders. And his forceful, lengthy handshakes have been met with disdain by world leaders, including the new French president, Emmanuel Macron. After a long, tense handshake with Trump, Macron proceeded to snub the U.S. president to meet German Chancellor Angela Merkel. The G7 summit continues through tomorrow in an isolated resort on a Sicilian cliff overlooking the Mediterranean with a view of the African coastline. Hundreds of migrants have died trying to cross from Africa to Europe at this location because it is one of the shortest distances from the African coast to the European continent. In local news, a student from Cleveland High School beat out over 1,800 competitors to win a national science contest put on by the Environmental Protection Agency. Adam Nyack's project focused on the causes and impacts of urban flooding, sparked by an observation he made at age 5 that fish were not returning to a stream in his neighborhood. 10 years later, he used historical flood data and watershed modeling to project how severe urban flooding might become in 4 Portland area stream basins if we continue to pave the city at the same rate. Nyack pointed out that the flooding he predicted could be mitigated by increased wetlands and green space. Oregon Governor Kate Brown said this week that the state is in a critical moment in budget negotiations, with lawmakers in Salem trying to work out how to address a $1.4 billion shortfall without cutting critical infrastructure needs and education. The state legislature had been counting on Measure 97 passing last November, which would have taxed the top 1% of corporations in the state and led to a balanced budget. But after an aggressive corporate ad campaign, voters turned down the measure, and now the state is considering large cuts to an already low school budget. The Right to Dream 2 rest area is on the move to a new location between the waterfront and the convention center in northeast Portland. The rest area, created by and for houseless people, has been on its current site at Northwest 4th and Burnside for the past 2 years. But the landlord gave them an eviction notice after a year of negotiations with the city failed to reach a conclusion. That's it for the KBOO News at Noon for Friday, May 26th, 2017. Tune in today and every weekday at 5 p.m. for more local, national, and international news produced by volunteer reporters right here in our Portland studios. For KBOO News, I'm Jenka Soderberg.
Bread and Roses. Tune in to Bread and Roses Friday, May 26th at 6 p.m. Devin Febriello and Kat Meow Garcia talk about the upcoming Real Voices Summer Camp for female and non-binary youth.
We need to work toward producing and creating films and television from maybe some other vantage points.
I was slowly learning how to deconstruct these images and reconstruct them in a way that represented me and my feelings and my stories.
We'll also hear from Kai Tillman about navigating the film industry as a trans person and a new workshop he's piloting for women identified and trans people.
The idea of the workshop is to create an environment that's safe, that people can feel comfortable asking questions.
And featuring surprise guest Miso.
Hello, Podcat.
Bread and Roses, May 26th, 6 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland 90.7.
Coming to the radio airwaves on Monday, June 5th at 11 p.m. The Ubu Hour Radio Western. Kill faster, pussycat.
I don't care for the way you girls get your thrills. Enough is enough. Now give it back or I'll...
Ugh. Go, Tommy! Get her! Get her, Tommy! Hit her hard!
Adapted from Russ Meyer's 1965 cult film classic, Faster, Pussycat, Kill, Kill.
Did you see that? That was too easy.
Monday, June 5th.
They're murderers! She kills them with her bare hands! friends.
Kill faster, pussycat. 11 p.m. on the Ubu Hour.
You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, Hood River and the Gorge at 91.9 FM, Philomath and Corvallis at 104.3 FM, and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
I hate a song that makes you think that you're not any good. I hate a song that makes you think you're just born to lose, bound to lose, no good to nobody, no good for nothing. Because you're either too old or too young or too fat or too thin or too ugly or too this or too that. Songs that run you down or songs that poke fun at you on account of your bad luck or your hard traveling. I am out to fight those kind of songs to my very last breath of air and my last drop of blood. I'm out to sing songs that will prove to you that this is your world and that if it's hit you pretty hard and knocked you down, for a dozen loops, no matter how hard it's run you down.